Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, September 21st. And we're in the middle of such exciting times, not just in football. Football is always exciting. It's even that much more exciting right now if you're a Dolphins fan, of course. We got a huge monster game happening at Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday. So that's big. And the Panthers, they had their media day. That was earlier this morning. The Miami Heat, they get started next week. And remember, the Heat's training camp, it's going to be in the Bahamas. It's better in the Bahamas. I guess sometimes it could be better there. It's where Jazz Chisholm is from. Remember Jazz Chisholm? Actually, I saw a note that Jazz is going to be on the Marlins broadcast tonight. He's going to be in the booth. So there's going to be a Jazz Chisholm sighting tonight during the Marlins game, but not on the field. And speaking of baseball, last night, my gosh, absolute insanity. I know the Marlins have been out of it for months, or shall I say years, but what Aaron Judge is doing, and also what Giancarlo did last night for the Yankees, that was completely crazy. The Yankees game was so nuts. I bring the Yankees up because I know we got a lot of Yankees fans in South Florida. I know the audience. And I go to New York often to sit behind home plate at Yankee Stadium with, of course, Marlins man.
Do you know who I am?
Because who else is going to purchase second row seats or first row seats behind home plate at Yankee Stadium for like $2,500 a piece? It ain't going to be me. That's for sure. Marlins man, he just clicks a button. I was on the phone with him the other day. We were talking about the Yankees and Aaron Judge going for the record, what a lot of people are considering the home run record. And I was telling him about my plans. I'm flying back to Miami, flying home tonight. And I said, well, on Friday, I'm supposed to actually go to the Homestead Miami Speedway. And they're having a media event there because NASCAR is coming to the Homestead Miami Speedway next month. And they were going to put me in an actual race car to go around the track. And I've done that before, but it's been a while. And it's really cool. It's an awesome experience going like 180 miles per hour. It's like, wow. So I signed up for that. But I said, if you're planning on getting tickets behind home plate at Yankee Stadium for Aaron Judge's home run chase, well, I could probably skip getting in a car going around the track for 45 seconds, even though it's great. But yeah, I could probably, you could pull my leg. I could probably make it to New York. And he clicked a button and he bought the seats. So my plan as of right now, fly back home to Miami, getting in tonight from Medellin, where I'm doing the show from right now this afternoon, get into Miami this evening, and then on Friday morning, take a flight to New York.
New York, New York.
Head to a deli to get a nice brisket sandwich Friday afternoon. These are the important details. A nice, really good brisket sandwich. I'm actually going to go to Ben's Deli in New York. I was there, I don't know, 3 months ago or so, and it was an incredible brisket sandwich. Really, really good on the garlic bread. Oh, it was delicious. And I'm not a rookie. I don't ask for my brisket lean. No. I want it juicy, and it was just so good. So that's my plan. I'm going to go to get a brisket sandwich Friday afternoon. Then I'm going to make my way to Yankee Stadium Friday evening, where the weather is going to be fantastic. It's going to be in the 50s, I believe, Friday night in New York in the Bronx. Watch the Yankees second row behind home plate next to Marlins man.
Do you know who I am?
And hopefully see Aaron Judge hit number 61, or what I really want to see is 62. So that's the plan as of right now. If Aaron Judge winds up getting to 62 before Friday night, and he's got two opportunities, or two games, I should say, with many opportunities, tonight and then also tomorrow. If he's already got 62, then I'm going to just stay in Miami and go around the track at Homestead Miami Speedway. But I'm going to be coming to you every single day this week. I'm with you today. I'm going to be with you tomorrow. I'm going to be with you on Friday, getting you ready for a football weekend. And I hope to be in New York on Friday as well. So it would be awesome to see something historic there in person. And I don't think, keyword think, that I'm going to be sitting there behind home plate trying to take a video, because there's going to be so many videos out there. It's like, I want to get the experience. You know, I want to just take it all in and see it and not worry about my iPhone and a video. So many people do that nowadays. You go to a concert, you go somewhere, you see all these videos from concerts, and everybody is holding up their cell phone. It's like, enjoy the concert. Take maybe a 20-second clip, and then just enjoy the concert. Not enough people do that. Same thing with games. So that's the plan right now for Friday. So it's going to be an awesome time this whole weekend, Friday night, if Judge doesn't have 62 already. I always talk about March being one of my favorite months of the year, but October, it's right up there. I know we're not there yet, but we're about, what, a week and a half away? We got football, NFL, we got college, we got the NBA and NHL going on in October, the baseball postseason, which is absolutely epic. So we're not quite there yet in October, but last night, the dude tied Babe Ruth. I mean, in the history of baseball, six men have hit 60 homers. Three are accused. I think it's accused, right? Or were they convicted? Of using steroids. And then the other three were Yankees. Aaron Judge, with the Yankees down four runs to the Pirates in the ninth, he blasts his 60th homer. He also leads the American League in batting average, so right now he would win the Triple Crown. And then Giancarlo hits a walk-off grand slam. Remember Giancarlo Stanton, Marlins fans? Yeah, they could use him right about now. I don't know how there's any conversation about Ohtani being the MVP. Ohtani came to South Florida to Lone Depot Park. And I remember talking about Ohtani for 3 days, how awesome he is. He's a legit hitting star. He's a great pitcher. He's two players in one. But what Aaron Judge is doing this year, it's going to be talked about in 100 years from now. It's otherworldly. It's beyond. So if Ohtani gets the MVP over Judge this year, we might as well give Ohtani the next 15 MVP awards, because no one is going to have a better season than Aaron Judge is. I brought up last week when the Dolphins were going to play the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's contract year, and how Lamar is probably just going to go off this season. And he went off in the Dolphins game. The Dolphins still beat him. But think about that. What I was comparing Jackson to was Aaron Judge. The Yankees made this dude an offer, and he said, nah, I'm going to bet on myself. And he had been hurt plenty. And what did we all say? This dude's crazy. He's turning down all this money. Well, take a look now at the season he's having. Judge is probably going to command a $500 million contract. No exaggeration. He probably made himself $200 million this year simply by not signing. The guts to make that decision. So he's going to be a free agent. Hey, Judge being a free agent, you got to wonder if the Marlins are going to jump into the sweepstakes, right? That was David Samson's laugh. The one you just heard, though, was mine. I don't know how I'm gonna be able to move on here without laughing. Will the Marlins be players for Aaron Judge? How do you not laugh after you hear that? It's like when you say it, it's instant. It's an instantaneous laugh. The Marlins sign Avisail Garcia and Jorge Soler. Not Aaron Judge. All right, I had to bring up baseball. I had to tell you my plans. You guys like hearing about my plans. You follow me on Instagram. I'm posting pictures from Medellin and from all over the world, and hopefully Friday night from Yankee Stadium. I get messages from so many of you all the time, emails, DMs, tweets, and I appreciate every single one of them. So I do have a lot to get to this afternoon, football-wise, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
It's back to work for the Miami Dolphins. Yesterday, Tuesday, is an off day for NFL players. And I think NFL players have to have an interesting balancing act that they've got to pull off. Because they're told, hey, leave the past behind. It's like a 24-hour rule. You enjoy the win, and then you move on. But I mean, and I'm not even a diehard Dolphins fan. I'm just a dude who watched the game, and I talk about him, and I root for him. But I am still not even over what I saw on Sunday. That was ridiculous. I know I've talked a lot about it, and I'm going to talk a lot more about it because it was incredible. A 3-touchdown comeback, a 4-touchdown fourth quarter for Tua, a 4-touchdown fourth quarter for the Dolphins offense. It was so, so good. So the balancing act is, how does the team use that win as momentum, use it as some rocket fuel, while at the same time focusing on the Buffalo Bills? Because that is a big, bad team that is coming to town. So how do you use what just happened, and at the same time you can't dwell on the past? You've got to look forward to your immediate future, and that's the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if that's easy to do. We'll find out with the result on Sunday how the Dolphins did. Did they do it well? Did they continue to just think about the past? What did they do? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. But as I said yesterday, if the Dolphins are able to pull off this win, my gosh. Because the Bills, they're the standard, at least for now. And I also think that's what Mike McDaniel is conveying to his players. Right now, at the moment, Buffalo is the Super Bowl favorite. Josh Allen, he's considered the best QB in football. Or second best, depending on who you ask. You know, some people might say Tua. No, I'm just kidding. But at the moment, the Buffalo Bills, they're wrecking everyone. But that moment, remember, is not going to be forever. And that's what Mike McDaniel has to convince his team. Sure, respect the Bills. You know they're good. They're dang good. They're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best in the NFL. However, they're not unbeatable. It's like, oh, you can't win this game. The Bills are a 30-point favorite. No, they can be beaten. The Bills have been in control of the division, but that doesn't mean that they will remain in control of the division. Think about what the Miami Dolphins have and who they have. One thing that Tyreek Hill brings to this football team, and this is an awesome thing that he brings, is that this dude is dripping with confidence. Not sweat, but confidence. Tyreek Hill does not stop being confident. And I think that belief, that swag, I think it's contagious. So any Dolphins players who might be a little intimidated by just how good the Bills are, they need to follow the leader. The leader being Tyreek Hill, who is just dripping with swag and confidence. When I saw Tua this past Sunday, and I saw the mistakes that he had in the first half, the unlucky pick and then the bad pick, but two interceptions, and the Dolphins were down big, Tua never really moped around. And I have to think, having a coach in Mike McDaniel the way he is, and having an elite talent in Tyreek Hill, having both of those guys around, I feel like they kept pumping belief into him. And I think they do that every time they speak. Every single game, game day and non-game day. Really, every day during the football season. The Dolphins players and coaching staff, they continue to give Tua more and more belief. And how could he not pick up on that? How could he not feel good about that? Imagine at your job, okay, whatever job you have, it doesn't matter. You could have a desk job. You could be a CEO. You could be a garbage man, whatever it is, mailman, mailwoman. Imagine you messed up. I'll use a mailman. You delivered mail to the wrong house. You made a big mistake. Somebody didn't get their check. Somebody else got it. You messed up. Look, we all mess up sometimes. And then the postmaster walks over to you, being a mailman, and says, you know what? You're still the man. Forget about what happened. That person is fetching about not receiving their check. Forget about it. Let's move on. You go out there and you crush it tomorrow on your delivery route. Now, I don't know if using the mailman analogy is the best one, but I hope you get my point. If you mess up and somebody comes to you and says, forget about that, crush it, let's go, how much would that lift you up? I think that's part of what's happened with Tua. And I say that because if there's anyone in that locker room who is thinking, oh boy, here comes Josh Allen again, he has owned us. If there's any of that, I think the overall positivity and belief that comes from Mike McDaniel and Tyreek Hill, I feel like that is going to flush any negativity, any bad feeling. It's going to be flushed right out of that locker room. It is definitely different in the Miami Dolphins facility. Now, maybe the Dolphins are just not ready to beat the Bills. That's also possible. I'm not saying if the Dolphins lose that they prepared incorrectly. They did everything wrong. No, the Bills could beat the Miami Dolphins and that's it. No one in the NFL is on the Bills level right now. They're winning every game by double digits. Yes, there's only been two, but still. So yeah, it's quite possible that the Dolphins could lose on Sunday. They're favored to lose on Sunday, although they were favored to lose last Sunday. But that's fine. If the Dolphins lose, I don't want them to, but if they do, I don't think it's going to be because they were intimidated. It's not going to be because they were scared. I really expect Sunday's game to be a shootout. After watching what I just did this past Sunday and the Dolphins and Ravens go 42-38, all right, 80 points, I could see big offensive numbers this Sunday from both sides. And that would be fun. When was the last time you looked at a slate of NFL games? You looked at that menu, and the absolute best game on the entire menu, it featured the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins and Bills, that is the best game of the NFL weekend. And I do really believe it will live up to the hype. And as I was saying yesterday, prepare yourself. Because if the Miami Dolphins do pull this off, and it's not some monumental event that would take place if the Dolphins beat the Bills. I don't want to make it sound like that. The Bills are about a 5.5-point favorite. We've seen the Bills. We know what they've got. We know what they're capable of doing. But if the Miami Dolphins do get a W, if they beat the Bills on Sunday, and let's not forget the Bills are favored to win the Super Bowl by many, what in the world is going to happen to the hype machine in South Florida? The Miami Dolphins would be number one in the AFC East. They would be 3-0. They would have just beat an incredible Bills squad. If all of that happens, the noise around this Dolphins team, and noise in a positive way, it is going to reach a level that we have not heard since Dan Marino's time or even longer. Because if the Dolphins do beat Buffalo Sunday, next Monday, every single show, not just locally, every single sports show across the country, they will be crowning the Dolphins. They will be crowning the Dolphins as the team to beat. They will be crowning Tua as the next best thing. It'll be a wave of positivity, the likes of which we just haven't seen around South Florida since I've been doing this show. And that started in 2008, April 2008. And I'm not just talking about with the football team. I'm talking about anything sports-wise in South Florida. And yes, I've been around for a while, and I do remember the hype around the Miami Heat. Plenty of it. The Big Three era was insane. Every day, the Heatles, the attention was earth-shattering. It was nonstop, and the Heat backed it up. Four NBA Finals, two rings. We've had excitement even with the Marlins winning two rings. We've had five national championships with the Canes since 83. But for the Miami Dolphins to start the season 3-0, if they were to beat Buffalo, and Buffalo being the Super Bowl pick, I think this would show the Miami Dolphins to the country as the actual force in the AFC. It would be the Dolphins. That would be insanity. I'm just imagining it. And come Sunday afternoon, you may not have to imagine it anymore, because legitimately, the Dolphins have a really good chance of beating the Buffalo Bills. Just like you have a really good chance of saving a ton of money if you need dental work done by visiting the Costa Rica Dental Team. The Costa Rica Dental Team will save you a fortune when compared to U.S. dental prices. I'm talking 50 to 70%, sometimes even more. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I could tell you firsthand, the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch. Maybe you need some crowns, veneers, implants, whatever dental work you need done. The Costa Rica Dental Team will take great care of you, and they will save you so much money compared to U.S. dental prices. So check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. I've mentioned many times, what if the Miami Dolphins do beat the Bills on Sunday, what the hype would be around South Florida, what the talk would be across the entire country. But what if the Dolphins lose, which is favored to happen? If the Dolphins do lose to the Bills, I really think there's no shame in it, especially if it's a close game. People are still going to talk about the Miami Dolphins if they were close to Buffalo. Let's say the Bills win by 3, 4, 5, something like that, even by a touchdown. People are still going to say, wow, look at Mike McDaniel. He's nipping at the heels of a potential Super Bowl team. The Miami Dolphins, they are right there. The only outcome that would kill all of the positive mojo that we got going on right now in South Florida around the Miami Dolphins, around Mike McDaniel, especially around Tua, who was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week today. The only way all that mojo is gone, you know it. I don't think it's going to happen, but if the Bills come into Hard Rock Stadium and they absolutely crush Miami, then all that mojo's gone. Let's say Tua doesn't play well. He throws a bunch of picks. The Dolphins lose by 21 or 28. I mean, it could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does, people will be like, hey, 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 pump those brakes. You know what? The Dolphins had a nice win in Baltimore, but they are not quite ready for the elite of the elites. That's what the conversation would be. Another strange part of this week is that it's really 2 weeks in one, because the Miami Dolphins are just a few days away from playing Buffalo. And then 4 days after that, they're going to be in Cincinnati. They'll actually be there the day before. But then that Thursday, they're going to take on the Bengals. And let's not forget, that is the team that represented the AFC in the Super Bowl last year. Joe Burrow and the Bengals right now have not been playing well. The Bengals cannot protect Burrow, but it's still a road game for Miami. It's a short week against the team that was just in the Super Bowl. So what the Dolphins have coming up, it's a huge swing in their season. I think before the season started, if you told the Miami Dolphins or Dolphins fans, you know what, you are going to start 2-2. First four games, you're going to be 2-2. I think the Dolphins and the fans, I mean, the Dolphins are going to say no way, but I really believe fans would have been like, okay, we'll take it. Yeah, 2-2, we'll take it. Given that you had Bill Belichick to start, on the road against Lamar Jackson, home against the Bills and Josh Allen, and then 4 days later on the road for Joe Burrow. You knew that schedule going into the season. If I would have told you you're going to start 2-2, I think a Dolphins fan would have been all right with that. And it could still be 2-2. However, right now through two games, 4-0 is in play. And if they're not 4-0, they could be 3-1. It's really exciting how quickly the Dolphins have gotten out of the gate here, and it's even more exciting because of the way they did it. That win Sunday wasn't just a win. It was a message. It was saying, here we are. And I think that call is being heard. I have not heard the Dolphins being discussed in the biggest of platforms in the positive way that they are now in decades. I really don't even remember when. I said when Mike McDaniel was hired, and I don't like bringing up on the show, I said this, I said that, remember this, remember that. No, I'm not that kind of guy. But, you knew there was a but. When Mike McDaniel was hired, I said, this is only going to go one of two ways. Either this will be a total home run hire, and they have found the next genius, or this is going to be a complete failure. We would say that the Dolphins organization, Stephen Ross, Chris Greer, all the higher-ups, they hired a head coach who was in way over his head through two games and the entire offseason. To me, it's very clear that it's been way more to the genius side than the complete failure side. But again, we're going to learn a lot more about this team in the next 8 days. These two games, home against Buffalo, and then the short turnaround to go to Cincinnati to take on Joe Burrow, these two games are going to be very, very telling on how the next 13 after them go. That's what I truly believe. Just like I truly believe when you head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, you are going to have such a fantastic time because you'll be surrounded by gorgeous. Girls, 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 girls. And what makes Dean's Gold the ultimate gentleman's club is that the beautiful ladies they have there come from all over the world. All different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You will be so thankful you walked in the doors. Take my word for it. I have been to Dean's Gold many times. You will have the night of your life or even early morning. You can go to Dean's Gold any day you want. They're open 7 days a week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 a.m. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Surround yourself with gorgeous women who come from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. My 13th annual football pick'em challenge is going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. If you have the most winners against the spread for the week, you're going to get a $100 gift card to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. I might actually head over there for lunch tomorrow afternoon. The Stone Crab season begins October 15th. It's less than a month away. So get your hands on that $100 gift card by picking the most winners against the spread in my 13th annual football pick'em challenge. I filled out my picks for the week this morning. And I really thought about changing every single one of my picks because I have not done well so far this year against the spread. But I said, you know what? Nah, this will be the week that I'll do well. So I'll just keep it like that. I'll keep it with my selections, and that's what I did. Make sure you get yours in for that $100 gift card to Joe Stone Crab that we give away every single week. And whoever's got the most winners at the end of 18 weeks of football, you and a guest will be flying away to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. That is one heck of a grand prize that we've been giving away now for years and years and years. It's in its 13th year. It's my annual football pick'em challenge, and it's going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. Every single game counts. It's never too late to enter, so make sure you're signed up and you're signed in. What a typical South Florida story this is. What Tyler Van Dyke, the Canes quarterback, said, he threw a verbal interception. There is a clip that is going around the internet, and Tyler Van Dyke said he likes playing on the road because there's a college feel, and the Canes don't really have that at Hard Rock Stadium. That right there is a big ouch coming from the Canes starting quarterback. Oof. I mean, if you didn't like the feel of playing at Miami, then why come to Miami? I'm not going to sit here and go off on Tyler Van Dyke, but if you want the small town college experience, that's fine. There's plenty of places that have it. I do agree that there is a different atmosphere with the Canes and Hard Rock Stadium. But for big games, for FSU, to have that building, which is beautiful, and it's a professional facility, and essentially the Canes are treated like the pro team in town, I don't know, it just kind of stinks to have the starting quarterback say that. I know Tyler Van Dyke is doing exactly what we do on this show, and that's always being all about honesty. But you just don't want to hear that. I'm not saying he has to lie. I don't want him to lie, but just don't say that at all, especially since there's a new head coach. Mario Cristobal is trying to recruit. He's trying to build. And TVD is supposed to be one of the building blocks that Mario has got there to build around. So for a dude who is in many ways one of the faces of the program to perpetuate something negative, and it's something that's often said about UM, it's really kind of a bummer. I'm not saying that Tyler Van Dyke is wrong. I'm just saying for him to say that, it's just something that shouldn't have come out of his mouth, at least publicly. If we want to be real, I mean, Tyler Van Dyke, he was bad on Saturday. I know the receivers aren't there for him to work with, but he didn't look good. He locked onto his first receiver. His footwork wasn't good. His throws were off. So for somebody who was loving that big atmosphere, well, where was the big performance? Reality is, if the Canes are going to be successful this season, Tyler Van Dyke's going to have to elevate the entire program. He's got to elevate the offense. He's going to have to elevate the receiving core. He's going to have to be that dude. Zero offensive touchdowns in the first early test for the Canes. That is not a good beginning. What's crazy is the Canes and the Dolphins are in complete opposite positions when it comes to their wide receiving core. So with the Dolphins, the studs are the receivers. So those receivers, they're going to uplift the quarterback and they're going to make Tua better. With the Hurricanes, the NFL talent guy is the QB and he's got to lift up the receiving group. And that's not going to be easy. It's way easier to have super studs at wide receiver and need a quarterback to just give them the opportunity than to have a really good quarterback with nowhere to go with the football. Anyhow, this is something, Tyler Van Dyke's comment, that I'm really going to keep an eye on and my ears open to. I don't know if he meant much by the home road comment there, but to me, what he said, it was just core leadership. So far, I've had really nothing to complain about with Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, I may have just said a few things, but those are all just observations that I've seen in games that he's played so far this year, and plenty of really good observations from when I saw him on the field last year. So with the comment, I think he just kind of stepped in it. But let's see. I would imagine with the receiver problems that the Canes are having, he's going to have a lot to deal with in terms of frustration the entire season. It's an unfortunate situation there with the wide receiving core for the Canes, but let's monitor how TVD handles it. To me, this would just be strike one. And, you know, you get three strikes, plus you can have two and then get a bunch of foul balls. I think TVD will be okay, at least I hope so. There was a lot of promise heading into the season with him. Heck, when I was in Vegas, I was thinking about taking Tyler Van Dyke to win the Heisman. I'm glad I didn't, because that part, it definitely doesn't look good right now. I'd rather take Tua to win the MVP. Speaking of taking something to win, every time I go to Gulfstream Park, I do my best to pick some winners. Exciting live racing action at Gulfstream Park right now every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the Royal Palm Meet. And if you want to do exactly what I do when I go to Gulfstream Park, you can. I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. Make a reservation, though. I highly recommend it to get a table. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. So I get a table at 10 Palms. I have a nice meal. I wager on the races. I watch them live right in front of me, and I always have a great time talking to people over there. It's just fun. If you haven't been to Gulfstream Park lately, get on over there. Any Friday, Saturday, or Sunday is what I highly suggest, and then go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. Live racing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It happens during the Royal Palm Meet, which is going on right now in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. It's Wednesday. That means Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol joins us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, we got some serious situations that have been going on, but let me lighten the mood here for just a moment. You guys, you watch the Dolphins. You monitor the situation. They're 2-0. Is it too early to start looking at parade routes?
Hey, listen, we're always optimistic. We're always rooting for our home team. So I know I'm already starting a little operational plan. I just can't present it yet to my staff, you know, but I'm working on it.
You got to give me the scoop on that. I need to know the parade route, man. Lieutenant.
Might be sensitive still.
Unfortunately, we can't keep the segment to all laughs because South Florida, things happen, and they seem to happen way too often. I believe it was yesterday morning, sometime in the past 48 hours. What happened off of I-95? I heard about a shooting. Was it road rage or what?
This was actually I believe it was Monday, but yeah, it was a shooting that occurred on the highway. There was actually two vehicles that were hit. Both victims stated it was a darkened color Audi SUV that was traveling north on I-95 in the north end of Miami-Dade County. And just occupants inside of the SUV began to, you know, discharge their firearm out the window, striking two vehicles. Luckily, none of the occupants in the victim vehicles were struck. That was the lucky part, just the actual vehicles were hit. But still, this occurred Monday in the morning time, I-95 in the area of Northwest 125th Street. If anybody might have any information, we're looking for a dark color SUV, possibly an Audi SUV. Please call in Star FHP. We're trying to really combat these shootings that are occurring on the highway.
Lieutenant, do you guys have any idea why this happened? I'm assuming it wasn't random.
You know, Andy, sometimes they're random, sometimes they're targeted. Unfortunately, it's hard to get victim cooperation all the time. If it was in fact targeted and the victim might have known that, they don't always come around to tell you that openly. So it just makes these cases a little bit more complex and really trying to find the offender and, you know, making an arrest on them.
That's interesting, though. How does that, maybe you could take us inside, not necessarily this investigation. I mean, you could if you want, but how does that work when somebody's telling you, the victim, oh yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why this happened. How do you not just say, okay, you know, I believe you? How do you discount that and say, wait a minute, maybe they're not telling the truth?
Well, you don't say they're not telling the truth. You can only you can interview them, right, and you can try to gather as much information as you can, right? But if the victim in this case knows that they were targeted, that, you know, they'll keep the so-called, you know, the code of the street, and they won't really tell you, hey, I know who the shooter was and I know why they did this. Sometimes, I'm not saying that's always the case. Sometimes it is random, but that's why getting victim cooperation sometimes is difficult. You know, it makes it difficult, and then you rely on other things like surveillance cameras. You rely on independent witnesses. You rely on so many other things, but the step one is obviously getting as much information from the victim.
Lieutenant, people may hear me say that and be like, well, come on, Andy, how can a law enforcement officer not tell if someone's telling the truth or not? But you guys are used to dealing with that situation with suspects most of the time, right? Not the victim. So it just kind of presents itself a little differently, no? Like in your investigative work?
Absolutely. It makes it that much more difficult. And you can kind of tell when somebody's an innocent bystander in a shooting, and you can kind of tell when somebody's been targeted. You know, you can, you know, make those kind of calls in your head, and you can really, as an investigator, you know, try to ask the right questions and try to really dig deep into it. And sometimes that is enough to make a case and to make an arrest, but sometimes it's not, and you have to rely on community witnesses, you know, other things, other methods.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. He joins us every Wednesday. Lieutenant, we got about 60 seconds to go. Sorry, I took a lot of time today talking about the Miami Dolphins, of course. I'm sure you can understand that. But real quickly, just a quick recap on what happened. I believe it was last week I was watching the chase and the bailouts. We're seeing a lot more bailouts now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more pursuits too, Andy. It seems like people are a little bit more willing to not stop for law enforcement. And, you know, I want to remind everybody, this particular incident was a confirmed stolen vehicle out of Palm Beach County. And it was also a flagged vehicle where it was known to have been utilized in other property crimes. So we knew there were suspects of crimes in there that the vehicle was used in for other property crimes. And so when we run into a situation like this and this vehicle gets spotted by an officer, you know, a pursuit, and you don't stop, we will chase you. And you know, these are serious, you know, offenses that we're chasing for. Now, we might not chase for smaller things, but for these types of things. And that's exactly what happened. You know, it started in Miami, Doral area, ended in Lauderhill in an apartment complex. There was a small multi-agency perimeter established. And eventually the driver of the vehicle was taken into custody.
Lieutenant, email me those parade plans, all right? You got my email address. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks for everything you and the Florida Highway Patrol do. And we'll chat again next Wednesday.
Thanks, Andy. See you.
All right, take care. It's crazy out there, especially in South Florida. Always. What else is new? All right, that's all the time I have for this Wednesday afternoon. I hope all of you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.